we're starting a new lesson and thinking of the end of the year. And I want to make sure, because we're coming out of a year where, as Christians, once again, we are to be spiritual. And we hear the term, and I just really need y'all to grasp that. Not me, need you. You need, really need to grasp that. And that's going to be very important for you to do, because spirituality is your life. That's how you're walking. That's how you're living. Okay. So when we do the armor of God, you'd be surprised how many people look at it as some sort of nursery rhyme or just for kids, or that's a nice thing to read, and not realize how important that is to us in our walk. So I wanted to end with our last Bible study and start the year. So we're going to, you know, of course, it's going to end here, and then God willing, finish up going into the next year, our spiritual clothing, to really understand the significance of it in our lives. And I can simply say this, that many of you say we know it, but many of us don't display it. You know, I don't know what we're wearing, but we're not wearing this. So we want to go through it again to really check out our spiritual attire. Because remember, Satan would love us to be pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, as that church in Laodicea was, in which I think I'm strong, in which I think I'm smart, in which I think I got things going on. You know what I mean? I like to think all of that stuff. But what he's showing me is you are actually nowhere, and you have nothing unless you have this. So we're going to get an understanding of how to be spiritually dressed in order for us to be spiritually protected. So as you can see, it's from Ephesians, and I don't know why I have that twice, so you're going to see that on the papers when you download them, but that was a mistake. But so Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 is showing us that we must prepare for the right battle, and we must do it the right way, okay? So Satan doesn't care if you're out there fighting hard, as long as it's not, first of all, against the right battle, but then he doesn't care if you're fighting the right battle, as long as you're trying to do it yourself. This whole section explains that to us. All Christians, once we see this, it should change a whole lot of things in our lives, but you still see us arguing with people, having attitudes, treating people with grudges, treating people bad because of what they did to us, situations affecting us, instead of realizing what he's saying in this. We're going to read the whole passage, and of course, we'll break it down. He says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 11, he starts off going, finally, be strong, watch this, in the Lord, and in his mighty power. That's first and foremost. So if you don't get this, you'll see a lot of people over investing in self to try to make self strong, right? You'll hear a lot of people's New Year's resolution. I'm not going to let people walk over me anymore. I'm going to achieve this. I'm going to. And we then tend to look at our own strength. And he starts off in this passage saying, no, stop being strong in you, because you're not strong. Be strong in the Lord and do it in his power. And then he explains, he says, put on the full armor of God so that, okay, it's going to do something. What? You can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, let me show you something that's implied here. He's saying, but if you don't, you won't be able to take your stand. And that's why we as Christians are still getting beat up. I know we like to say we're more than conquerors. I know we like to say, Satan, you can't do anything to me, but he can if we allow him, and we allow him if we don't use the resources that God gave us. So if I try to deal with the schemes he put up against me any other way, I'm going to lose. And that's what he's showing us. And he makes clear in verse 12, and this, you hear me go over this many times. I know you hear this one many times, and we still deal with it wrong. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I've used this example before. I'm going to use it again. If you got hit by a car, you don't get up and tell the driver, you need to leave because I'm going to have it out with this car. I can't believe this car hit me. You know what I mean? Now, some of you may say, well, there are self-driving cars. We're talking with people driving the car. And that person gets the car, okay, I'm leaving. The problem is the person who caused the problem was the driver. And here we are beating up the car. So you got people in your life that you're getting mad at, and you're beating them up. There's situations that you're going through, and you're getting mad at it, and you're beating it up. And we're dealing with it in a fleshly way. And he told you the answer here, that no, All of those have drivers. All of those have another source. And he gave all these names because he's saying, and you can't see them. Do you understand that? That's why he says you need to put on this uniform, because you're fighting the wrong battle. You're beating up cars that hit you, and the car is not the problem. It's just the vehicle used by the problem. Okay. And if you don't get this, we're going to go into 2021 or whatever year you're in and go through all your life struggling and have a hard time because you think you're solving problems while in reality you're beating up empty cars. So that's why he says this is where it comes from, not against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then he says, therefore, he's like, so since you know this, this is what you do. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, which is letting you know that day of evil is not just one day. It's not implying. It means those. It's when it keeps happening, you're already ready. You have everything you need, and you know how to handle it. We struggle because we don't know how to handle it. In fact, some of us are hit with the days of evil, and we don't even know that day is evil because we enjoy it. We don't know the difference between evil and good. You know, we tend to mix the two up because we allow to measure it based on us and not measure it based on God. He was like, but see, if you put on, yes? Sorry.
Word says, I lost my place. Oh, wickedness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Yep.
What is that?
It's another
spirit, in the heavenly places.
It's another spiritual realm. And it's good you're asking that, but you can go through the Bible as much as you want. They do not give details on these.
Okay.
And the reason why he doesn't give detail on these, because it's not, basically none of our business for the most part. He's showing it comes from different areas. When he breaks it down against rulers, what does that mean? Against authority. And I have people, I've read books and I've seen people have written books on it. And it's great how they wrote these books. And there's a lot of details they'll use. I don't know where they're getting their detail from. That's the problem. You'll get some things that you may be able to pull out of these, but for the most part, he gave us, and he's showing us, oh no, the spiritual realm is much vaster than what you think. You know what I mean? It's much more, but he's saying to you, so you don't know what you're dealing with, so do what I say so you can stay protected. That's what he's saying. He's not making us, hey, go do research and find out, because if I gave that as homework to each and every one of you, unless you read somebody who gave you this answer and they don't know where they got it from, biblically, it doesn't go into detail on those, what each of those things are.
Thank you.
Yep. I'm glad she asked that, because that's what you get. You get people that will end up going into studies of these. They'll follow these people that will give you these answers. And the reason why you'll never find out if they're right or wrong is because they'll once again tell you, God told me. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm saying his word is showing you knowing what each individual thing is unnecessary. He's telling you this is how you're going to be able to deal with all of these things. So it's good to know that. So please keep that in mind. And that's why when he says, therefore, he was like, in order to deal with these that come from different places and different realms and things we don't understand, he said, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. He says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Those things are what you put on. Then he says, in addition to all this, you're going to see yourself consciously taking these things up. We'll talk about that when we get to them. Each time you respond with these things, that's the take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, 18 kind of bundles this all together. And I just want to be careful because you have some that teach when he says pray in the spirit, they think they're talking about praying in tongues. No, that praying in the spirit is when we do things once again, spiritually. The way we know this too is because remember he says, my true worshipers must worship me in spirit and in truth. And then we see in 1 Corinthians is the word that it's saying the word is spiritual and is spiritually discerned. None of these, see, tongues is a small part. It's a gift, one of the gifts that God gives, and it's using it in a smaller portion than what people made it into. So when he's saying pray in the spirit, he's saying pray spiritually. Unfortunately, today we pray emotionally, we pray wishfully. pray based on our desires, if we're being honest. You know, we usually pray for what we want and stay there. We don't budge from that desire instead of praying from within that spiritual word, praying from within God, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? You know, when Jesus was doing in his prayer, he was presenting his case, right? But not my will, but your will be done. Very clear. I mean, he was clearly saying, I don't want you to do what I want over yours. And that's where that praying in the spirit in all occasions, and it comes in different types of prayer. You have intercessory prayers, you have group prayers, you have the individual prayers, you know, tongue prayers may include in that. That may be part of, but it's a prayer. You know what I mean? And he's saying, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So we must pray for one another as well with these spiritual prayers, not emotional, not intellectual prayers. Right? We want to pray with true spiritual prayer. That's why I got to know the word. So I'm praying for you correctly. I mean, if you're just praying for me through some desire that I want, I could be hurting you more and you could be hurting me more. So keep that in mind. So keep that. So all of this comes in a package, and it's a very important part of our spiritual warfare. Now, spiritual warfare isn't, hey, just go out there and have at it and beat them up. You have authority to do what you want. You got people doing all this crazy stuff that has nothing to do with God. He's saying, no, do this. So in that spiritual warfare, you will win. Okay, so let's break those parts down, which is the armor that we all better have on and or have access to when we're in the spiritual fight, which is going on every day of our lives. Now, first of all, the belt of truth. One thing you're going to notice about all of these things, you're going to get the item. And where that item and how that item functions is very important. And then the material it's made out of is the spiritual strength. Okay, keep that in mind. So very necessary. You need the item itself. So where it is, it usually shows what it protects and what it does, as we're going to go over. And then the material it's made out of. So the belt of truth. So the belt, which is not only used to hold up or hold things together. Okay, it's also, and that's why, because in the translation, it's saying gird your loins. In other words, cover your gut or your firmness of that, what's holding your gut. And usually when we go by our gut, we usually go by what we feel. He's saying, no, make your gut truth. Make what's holding all this together truth. Make sure it's all about truth. And you have to, your core reason for being in the word has to be truth. See, first of all, there's a lot of people that become Christians for some other reason, their core reason, and then everything else is going to be a mess. If you don't get past this part, if your belt is not right. See, some people come to church or become Christians to feel better. They come to church or become Christians to get something from God. Do you understand that? In other words, we live our lives treating Christianity as a source for our desires. And we basically have that as our core. And that's why you hear people get mad at God, people leave God, people distort God's word, churches distort to bring people in. We go through all these things and we allow that to really drive us crazy. And that's why you have a lot of Christians who are struggling today, because they're like, is God not listening to me? What is going on? What did I do wrong? And they're doing it because their purpose is not based on truth. Let's understand truth. First of all, Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. John 14, 6 through 7 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And all of these are a form of truth. The way is the path you should take. The truth is the answer. And the life is the entire purpose or foundation of which you're supposed to be living. He makes clear, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, and that's that knowledge thing, that gnosis, that relationship. Remember, people know him, but he said, no, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And what Jesus is saying, that relationship we have with him, we have with God. And his word is going to show us the truth, the answer. So please be careful, because the truth is a package deal of gaining the understanding of him. Because remember, gaining the understanding is going against my own understanding. Okay? Because Don't make the truth where you're just studying it to fit what you think you understand, because then you're going nowhere. Once again, that you're making that core you instead of making that core the truth. It only works when a person truly and honestly is saying, I want to fully hear what he says so I can do exactly what he says. And you got to brace yourself, because a lot of what he says, you're not going to like. But that's a good thing, because unfortunately, what's destroying us is sometimes the stuff we like. It lures us away. We see that truth is what is needed to connect with God. He says in John 4, 23 through 24, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, as we were saying earlier, and truth. Now, both of those describe the word and describe the Holy Spirit, and it describes the element that we all should be living in. Those two elements describe the Christian, the spirit, so we must be spiritual, and we learn about that when we do fruit every year, or the other thing that kind of replaces fruit. We'll be doing that this year, God willing. But the truth part. So when you start hearing people give their God answers and it has nothing to do with God, they're not speaking truth. And that's where it becomes dangerous. That's why you have to ask, can you show me where that is? Can you help me understand that in the God's word? But be very careful not to just take somebody because God told me, or I always taught, or I always felt. You got to show me that, because it has to be in truth, because our life is a form of worship. Everything we do is a form of worship, and I must do it spiritually, and I better do it based on truth. God is not one of those that goes, oh, well, they mean well. No. He's sacred, and we must treat him with reverence. It goes on to say, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That must is so necessary. He's letting you know, you got to do it this way. I'm not just going to, you know, we do it with our kids sometimes when they do something and they meant well, even though they didn't do what we told them to do. We go, well, you know, they meant well. And we do that. We lower the bar. And then we start doing that. And that's why you have these Christians. They may never go to church a day in their life. They never read the Bible. Or if they do read the Bible, or they'll go, I don't understand, but it doesn't matter. God knows it. And you'll start hearing these people kind of talk in a very loose, lack of reverence type way, thinking God's going to go, he knows I love him. No, he's saying it's going to be displayed with these two elements, and one of those elements is truth. So we have to have truth. And we already know Jesus is the truth. Now, terrible time in people not accessing truth. That's the time we're in. All of us have been born in what 2 Timothy 3 is talking about. I'm going to go through it real quick. But we're in this time, and you're going to see how it ends, because something happens to this group of people. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. I told you, a lot of people who usually read this think it's talking about Revelations. No, read on. And he's saying people will be what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, I can I'm taking a stretch here, but I bet you almost none of us, when we heard of it, were going, wow, that's crazy. Because this is so common today, even amongst Christians, and it shouldn't be. None of these should be. To the point we look at it, yeah, you know, that's how people are. And that's the problem. We've become more in these. Now, we do different sermons in which we go into these in detail. I'm not going to do that. I just want you to see these, because it's talking about the now. And if you really look at it, the core thing is self-centeredness. It's talking about what I want. That's why it's saying lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh, they love God, but the pleasure will always go before God, is what they're saying. And he's saying having a form of godliness. So I like to walk around looking all Christian, looking all whatever, and having that emotion, but denying the power. So I'm really not a Christian. If I really believed, you'd see me acting. Why? Because I trust in what he says. True belief, faith is, he said it, I'm just going to do it. You'll see me living it. God is not impressed with me saying I'm receiving it. In fact, the order of my steps coming up this week is going to be how to receive the word. Because you have a lot of people that are very good at reading it. They are really good at taking notes. We can highlight a Bible like a coloring book. We got all that down to a science. But when I watch your life, you're going, I see absolutely no Bible in what you're doing, or I see very little Bible in what you're doing. Why? Because I have the form of godliness. I want you, I can play the game. I can make people think it, but I'm really not. The power is meaningless. I really don't, because I'm denying the power.
Well, excuse me.
Yep.
Denying the power. Where does that fit into your explanation?
So denying the power is when his word says do something and I choose to do something else or add some sort of safety net, I'm not trusting in his power. When he tells me to love my enemies and I'll love them until they get on my nerves, I'm not trusting him. I'm denying his power. His power is his word. His power is what he tells us to do. In fact, he gives us instructions on many things. You know, I tell couples, like 1 Peter 3 gives instruction on husband and wives. And one thing it tells wives, it says to submit to your husbands, so them who do not believe may be won over without words when they see the purity and reverence in your walk. And you'd be surprised how many couples will hear that and they'll go, amen. They may do some of that, but most of it, I'm not doing that. And they still, you know, get mad. They still have attitudes, still react their way. Then it goes to husbands, how they're supposed to treat their wives as a weaker partner. So their prayers from that, and husbands will do it to a certain point and they don't realize their responsibility as a whole. So in other words, we're denying his power. If we really knew, oh, God's telling me this, you'd see us go out of our way to make sure it was done to a T. It wouldn't be, yeah, I know. Yeah, I really should be. Because we're going to hear that every year. Every year. When does that end? You know what I mean? So we're basically saying, yeah, I kind of believe God. And it shows in our actions, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And that's where we have to be very careful. In fact, if you turn to
So are you saying if we didn't deny his power, we should and could be doing way more than we are?
Absolutely. 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 Yep. Yep. That's the best way of putting it. And because we're living in denying of his power, he's not impressed when you just receive the word. He's impressed when you receive it, understand what you're supposed to do, and apply it. And like I said, the order of my steps is going to go over that even more. But that's what we're killing ourselves, because our lives keep showing, we say, God, we trust in you and I have faith in you, but our actions are showing otherwise. In fact, if you go to the verse I'm looking for, it actually ends with, but their actions. They say they love, basically they love them, but their actions show otherwise. Titus 2. Oh, wait a minute.
Pastor Keith.
Yep.
I was told Titus 1:16.
Thank you.
If it's wrong, Navy said it. If it's right, I said it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you, Navy. All right. So Titus 1:16, where it says, I'm in Timothy. Sorry about that. Titus 1:16. 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything. Let me go even a little further. That's why when you hear me read this verse in verse 15, Titus 1, starting in verse 15 and 16. So y'all write that down and read it again. But it says, to the pure, all things are pure. It says, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Now, what does that mean? Remember, purity is if I clearly get it from the Bible. Those who are not pure pick and choose out the Bible, and then they mix other junk with it. And you'll see that. Those are ones that are mad at certain sins, but other sins they give a pass, right? Man, they're fire and brimstone on this topic, but on this topic, you know, people are going to be people. Those are people that are impure. You'll see consistency in the word, following the word for those who are pure. That's what I'm saying. All things are pure. This is what the Bible says, and they're firm with it. It says in back both. It says in fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. And he says, and this is talking about the impure, they claim to know God. So you got a lot of people that say it. They may even try to, speak the right words and all that. It says, but by their actions, they deny him. Remember, our actions are our evidence. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, for God to put that out there, he's making that clear. He's not saying, well, they're doing their best. He's like, no, because they're being impure. You're going to the word, not just to say, hey, I'm going to the word. You're going to the word to live it. If you truly believe in the power. If you don't, your actions will show it. First, either won't spend the time to get the answers to display it. Or once you get them, you won't display it. Or you'll get them, you'll understand them, but you're too stubborn to display them. All that is the denying the power. Hopefully that helps. Okay. And if you notice what he says after verse 5, back to the page, he says, have nothing to do with them. Now, unfortunately, it's so widespread in the church, this is hard. He says they are the kind who worm their way into homes, gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins. And this is still talking about them, not the women, and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. And watch this, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. So that says a lot. I mean, they'll study, they'll listen, they'll get it, they'll say amen, no growth. You're still in first grade, even though you're studying, you learn. Why? Because you're not doing the full process. He gives it to you. You say, I know what I'm doing. You apply it. You repeat. As you do that, you will grow. You don't do that. You're just going through the motions. You're playing games. You're claiming, but you're not doing. See, when the core is truth, that's what you want, and that's what you actually live for. Too many times we mix truth with other stuff, and that other thing is usually desire. And that's what 2 Timothy 3 shows us. So understand the reverse of it, not having this belt made of this material puts us in the wrong place, period. And he shows us in John 8, 43 through 45, he's very clear when he says, watch this. He's saying, why is my language not clear to you? Now, this is going to be a question sometimes when we read and we're not coming to the truth and we're always confused. All right. I'm not saying the Bible is easy once you get it, but when we feel as though we're stuck and we're just not getting anywhere, this kind of answers it. And don't be insulted. Take it and go, okay, wait a minute. I have to readjust something. You know what I mean? And he says, he's asking them, how come you guys don't understand what I'm saying? He says, because, watch this, you are unable to hear what I say. And he tells why. You belong to your father, the devil. Some people are like, how dare he say that? Just listen what he's saying. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. Y'all get this? Now, what he's showing is, Satan had other agendas, and unfortunately, many of us do too. God, I'll serve you along with, as long as, right? Right? We put God along with us, so he's now God and our desires, and there's a mixture in there, and we don't hold the truth. See, a person following what the word said would have denied themselves and said, I just want the answer. I told you it was like my mid-20s when I finally did that. Because before then, I was one of those Christians who kind of followed tradition and reached in the Bible for the stuff I liked, ignored the stuff I didn't. And it wasn't until my mid-20s where I just said, I just want to hear what he said. And I'm being clear, and I think all of you who are doing it know it, it's not desirable all the time. It goes against the flesh. Do you get this? Okay. And he's saying not holding to truth. He says, why? For there is no truth in him. So that's what Satan is. It says when he lies, he speaks his native language. For he. Yeah, absolutely.
So if a husband and wife are one,
yep.
We're one unit, but one is growing and the other's not, one is not necessarily, in the truth, mm-hmm. What you just talked about, how does that affect the wife since we're one?
Good question. So because you're one, and 1 Corinthians 7 shows us this, and so does 1 Peter 3 shows us this, that becomes one of your duties to live in such a way to make sure your ministry is for. Like, let me show you. I will go over to two things. So I'm going to bring up the Bible in this. So in 1 Corinthians 7, if you notice the emphasis, we're going to read in verse 15. Look what he's saying about, you know, leaving and staying. We're not going to go into all that, but just this last part. Look at the emphasis he put on it. He says, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances, but has called us live in peace. But watch what he says. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? So it becomes part of your goal. Now, not to badger, not to browbeat. This is where, like Sister Carolyn was asking earlier, make sure you're ministering based on the word. And this one, so for the wives as an example, if we go to 1 Peter 3, and this one's clear, but I'm not going to lie, by sight, it looks like it's not doing much. Okay? But it's doing a whole lot when you really think of it. So 1 Peter 3, he says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be, watch this, won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So what's the behavior? When they see what? Purity. We just talked about purity and reverence in your lives. He's saying this is the remedy if it's going to work. He's not saying it's always going to, but this, so your goal now is to make sure in your life you're displaying purity and reverence. Not browbeat, and the reason why I say not browbeat, because what ends up happening, and this usually happens with wives to husbands sometimes, you get mad, you tell them, why aren't you doing this? You should be doing this. What kind of man are you? You don't want to do that. No. Because the submission part is still, you're showing that the submission based on God, as the Bible talks about submission. Submission is not subservient. Please understand that. It doesn't mean you're slave to him and you do what he says and he's the ruler and king. Does not mean that. Please understand that. Submission is understanding he is the one who's responsible for. It's still a partnership. Please understand that. But this is when they see the purity and reverence in your lives, when they see purity and reverence, and then it says your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. And he's not saying those things are wrong. He's like, don't invest in those to win him over. Because you got a lot of people that go out and they'll buy things and they'll do stuff to themselves to win them physically. Now, that's great. But that's limited, very, very limited. You make that your beauty. He's saying, no. The beauty they should see is instead it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So right there, he gave an answer on if it's going to work, that's your job right there. So yours is, I have a job to do. And I think a lot of marriages have that. Husbands in the same way, if it was reversed, you have the husband that's growing and the wife that's not. It says husbands in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. You have to take them into consideration. Do you understand that? You don't just, I'm the boss, I do everything, I run things, you better listen to me, you better read your Bible. No, you have to take them into consideration. It says, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Weaker does not mean bad. Remember, weaker just means in strength. He gave man strength for the purpose he put us in, gave women less strength for the purpose he put her in. That's the only thing it means. Doesn't mean any less, but you notice they use the word partner. Okay? So that means they're still existing, but the man plays the role of the head, the woman plays the role of the body in a sense, and you see how that works. And it says, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So you don't go it alone and say, oh, I'm going to get mine, and you're going to go to hell. No, you treat it as your own body. So it is a major part of ministry. I'm glad you asked that, because it's, you know, what some people tend to do is they'll end up leaving. And that's what 1 Corinthians 7 says, is no, don't do that. How do you know? And here's the way of doing it. You keep doing that part, and you did all that you can do. But be careful not to be a hindrance by trying to do it your way, if that makes sense.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Good question. Something we got to make sure we're doing. That's where, and if you notice, using the truth helps us, because I could have gave Keith Smith's answer. I probably, other people online probably have their answer on it, but I have to give what the Bible says, because it's the truth. And like I said, when you read that, some people read that and they're like, that's it. I don't see it working. Once again, we're either looking for outcome or we're looking by sight. Faith and believing in the power going, I'm doing this. That means you'll really invest the time in that purity. You'll really invest the time in that reverence and how you live. And you're like, this is important that I do this because I'm ministering to something very important. And we have to keep that stuff in mind. Amen. So, and so understanding this, once again, the devil is the father of lies. And we don't realize that sometimes in our half truths, it's the same as a lie. We're following Satan instead of following God. Okay. Either you're all in or you're not. This half stepping that we do, once again, is like denying the power, but we're doing what it says, what Satan wants. It says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, which do we, that we're not doing. We conveniently use the word when it's convenient, but we don't use it all the time. It says, watch this, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Our biggest struggle is because we keep teetering between truth and untruth. The deal is, truth doesn't always feel good. It does not. Okay. And truth goes against the flesh. That's why in the sermon that we're working on right now is, you know, it is dealing with the flesh and the spirit and the soul, because the body and the flesh part wants what it wants. And a lot of ministries, the prosperity ministry started it, but now you have a lot of ministries catering to people's physical well-being, mental well-being, but really not doing anything for our spiritual well-being. See, if it didn't, if our spiritual well-being wasn't the supreme source in there, he wouldn't tell me to deny myself. He was like, in order to become my disciple, you must deny yourself. And he's saying that, saying you won't be able to do it if you do not deny yourselves. And we're in this world where we keep living for ourselves and saying we're living for God. He's saying that it's impossible. It's impossible. And that's what so many are doing. We're still trying to be happy. We're still trying to have our cake and eat it too. I want all this stuff and I'm a Christian going to heaven. Okay. Even though he told you, you do know that's impossible. You're then going north, south, and there's no such thing as north, south. That's standing right where you're at. You're going absolutely nowhere. And that's just as bad as going the wrong way. So we got to make sure that we're engaging and understanding, and that our core purpose when we come in life and everything is truth. I just want to know what you have to say, God. And like Jesus said, I'm going to do exactly what my Father tells me. Any questions?
I have a question. So yeah. When Jesus is saying to them, you're unable to hear what I say, is he saying that to them? Excuse me. Because, I know they can physically hear him, but is he saying because the word is spiritual and they can't understand it? Is that what he means? What
yep. He's and not just spiritual. He's saying, because the biggest thing of spiritual is going to that first part. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? So we tend to, and how many of us, and I think you've heard me say this before, at times, and that's why you keep hearing me say to distinguish between understanding and your understanding. You know, in Proverbs 3:5-8 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And today you still have Christians going, I read it, but I don't understand it, or it doesn't make sense. So I'm not doing it until it makes sense to me. And he's saying, and that's what Satan wants, because Satan then comes in and did what he did to Eve. He does exactly that. I'm going to give you something to make you go, oh, okay, then it's okay to eat the fruit. Because when she saw that the fruit was good, and that's when we start distorting it. So they have trouble understanding it because they're going, what? Turn the other cheek. What? Be born again. Wait a minute, you're going to die. You know what I mean? So they're hearing stuff that makes no sense. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says that the Jews were looking for miraculous signs and the Greeks were looking for wisdom. And they're not talking about godly wisdom. They were looking for worldly wisdom. You know what I mean? So in both cases, they were looking for these. And if they didn't see that, they didn't accept God. You know what I mean? And that's what he's saying. You guys are hearing what I'm saying. I'm giving you the answers. You because you don't like it or because it doesn't fit your truth, which is a lie, you're struggling and you can't hear me. So it's absolutely right. And I've told, I've seen this firsthand. I'm sure all of you have seen it. Have you ever, somebody asked a question, you show them the answer in the Bible, but because that answer is so disturbing to them, They go find somebody else to give them another. I told you that story where somebody came to me and they were looking to get married. And once again, their core ended up being, I really want to get married. So they couldn't find anybody in the church. They finally found somebody basically outside the church. And they came to me when I was a pastor and they asked me, they were like, you know, I want to marry this person, the nicest person I met him, and this and everything's going well. And I'm like, here's the verse about equally yoked. You really can't do that. And she was upset. She went to her pastor and he went, as long as you're happy, and showed her no scripture or anything like that. So she got married. And unfortunately, they put themselves in, she put her and him in a danger. It's just a lot of stuff that happened in it because she didn't want to hear truth. So that's why she couldn't hear. When I said it, she was too busy being upset instead of, oh, wow, man, I dodged a bullet. Reverence is, even though I don't like it, thank you for showing me what he said. But we tend to go, oh, I don't like that answer. And I'm, and especially this past year, I've gotten more distorted answers because of people's outcomes. It really breaks your heart. So yes, they could not hear him because of their distorted. If they were spiritual and wanted the truth, they would have heard him clearly. But we add other elements. That's why we're confused and we're usually thrown off, if that makes sense.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. My wife told me I need some new stories. Pray for me and my new stories that I have to get. So, but thank you. She said, dude, you need some new stories. All right, I'll make some up. All right, but you know, I'm trying to give examples. I don't have as much. Tony Evans is excellent at that, so I can't do that. But pray for me that I can get some more examples. Or if y'all have some examples, send them in and I'll use those instead. All right, any other questions? All right. Praise God. We will stop there. And God willing, we will then start on the breastplate of righteousness next week. And like I said, tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And I think I'll be able to do it. I'm going to send out a thing. So for those who want to be on real time like this, you won't be able to ask questions, won't be able to talk or anything like that, because you'll be muted and you won't be able to unmute through Zoom. And you'll be able to, when we start church sometimes, you'll be able to come in through that same thing. That same source. It won't make any noise. It won't interrupt. It shouldn't cause any problems. And we could do it that way. But then others can watch it through YouTube as well. And there will be a delay, of course, with those who watch it through there. But it'll be our end of the year. We do it at 7 because we get a mixture of people. Some people like to do it, you know, going into midnight. And some people say, I'm not going to make it. So can you do it in the middle? And that's why we compromised and we made it at 7. So hopefully it'll be a blessing to you all. If there's no other questions, we will pray out. All right. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear God, for this opportunity to come together and to just grow in your word. Help us to really examine ourselves, to examine one another with love, using your spirit, not our own opinion and what we see, dear Lord. Help us to do things basically and always through you, to not allow our feelings, our experiences, our desires to get in the way of what you say. As we go into this new year, dear Lord, we ask you to really let us get focused with one another, to grow more as a body, to really have an agenda to bring others to you, knowing that the time is short. We ask for continual blessing on those who are sick, those who are struggling, especially those who are having financial problems. If there's a way we can help, please make it available, not just to us as a church, as an organization, but to us as a church, as a body, as we see it individually, as we see it collectively, whatever it may take. People are hurting. So whatever we can do to help, please open those windows, open those doors, or whatever we can do to present you to them in the helping of the ministry of love. And if it may be resources, if it may be time, whatever that is. A lot of people are struggling with depression. A lot of people are struggling because of the restrictions and just going through things. Help us to, first of all, by example and by a lot of love, be there for them in the right way and encourage them in spirit. We love you and we thank you, dear Lord. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen.
Amen.
Have a good night. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.